Now I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. I'm staring at an empty grave. And the stone that you rolled away. When I was prodigal, you saw sun. When I left nine, you saw one. Just like that, all my past has been erased. When I look back, I see grace. Well, now I see grace. Point Church, good to see you all this morning. Welcome. Welcome to our worship time this morning. We're glad you're here. Thank you for taking time to come out and be a part of Grace Point Church. Some of you come every week or almost every week. We're grateful to see you again. Maybe this is your first time here, and we want to give you a special welcome and say we hope you'll have a great time worshiping with us. So I want to give you a chance to say hello to one another, maybe to someone next to you or behind you or beside you. If you will, stand up with me. Take a moment to say hello to some folks around you. I want to read a couple of verses this morning as we get started. Verses that Paul penned in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Here's what he said. Now glory be to God, who by his mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. May he be given glory forever and ever through endless ages, because of his master plan of salvation for the church through Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me, please? God, thank you for giving us a reason to wake up and to get up and to get out of bed and to come here today. We realize, Father, we can thank you and worship you for your goodness and your grace and your gifts to us anywhere at any time. But there's something special about coming together as a group of believers, as you told us we should, and to bow before you and to say, God, thank you. We love you. We're grateful for you, for who you are, for everything that you've done for us through your Son Jesus, and by giving us the Holy Spirit to remain here with us. So now we give our attention and our time to you to worship you with grateful hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have you seen these around? Our OCC box, Operation Christmas Child, every year among tens of thousands of more churches around the world, I'm sure, probably more, fill these boxes with toys that a young boy or young girl would like. We send them out, literally they get sent out around the world. Inside, they'll also receive a message of the gospel, the story of God, the story of Jesus, and what that means to them in their language. And all you have to do is fill it up for a boy or girl. And looks like a lot of you have done this already. I thought we had some other ones back there. Are there leftovers? If you need a box, just let us know. This one's been filled. It doesn't have a name, so baby, we got one done. And we're good to go. We need those back. I think it's just a couple of weeks, right? So Libby and I really are going to go fill ours today. So if you haven't picked one up, there's probably some more in the back. Get those. If you've already picked them up, please go ahead and get them filled and bring them back to us as soon as you can. We appreciate that very much. Anybody ever heard of a man named Henry Ford? Does it ring a bell? Henry Ford had a vision to make cars accessible and affordable for the average American. So by at the time he started to finishing that particular automobile, most, if not all Americans, in his dream, in his vision, could afford to have a car. That was his dream. But if all he had was a vision, a dream, then nothing would have ever come about. You and I wouldn't be driving today. So what Mr. Ford had to do was not just have a dream and a vision. He had to take steps to secure what was necessary to make the vision become reality. And that's what he did. How did he do it? How did Ford secure his goal, his vision? It was achieved by a couple of ways. First of all, through innovations like the moving assembly line that could allow for mass production, which would decrease the cost of a car, in his case, the Model T. Today, that vision is continued through modern affordability initiatives and a commitment to Americans' manufacturings, giving them jobs and so forth. He had a dream and vision, but he had to secure it, and he took steps to do that. Think of our nation, America. A dream of many for which back in the day war was fought. But if the dream had started and ended only as a vision of a new and free nation, yet nothing took place to ensure America's freedom, then those people will have died in vain. So things were put into place to secure the dream and the vision. That's why we have our founding documents, the Declaration of Independence, that outlines the ideals of liberty. We have the U.S. Constitution that establishes a government of structure with separate powers. We have a Bill of Rights that protects individual liberties and limits government's power. There was a dream for a free nation. Without securing that, nothing would have happened. But because steps were taken to secure it, it came about. I spent the last 5 weeks talking about growing grace, the name of our renovation and church growth initiative. 5 weeks, five different messages talking about the vision, the dream of our church. And that was pretty good. I liked doing that. I think it was well received. But I got to thinking this week, we put that out there, people are buying into it, everything sounds wonderful, but what are we going to do to secure it? What are we going to make sure? What are we going to do to make sure that it is successful and not just a thought? So this morning I'm beginning a new series of messages, just three, called Securing Success for Growing Grace. How are we going to secure it? How are we going to make sure with anything that's in our power that we can bring it about? So today we're going to be talking about the first point of that. The title of this message is Maintaining Our Vision for Ourselves and for Our Church Regarding Growing Grace. Because the message I'm talking about today, it applies for us individually, but it applies to us as a church and our Growing Grace initiative. So look at this verse out of Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. The King James Version puts it this way: where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, don't think that I'm trying to say that, you know, we have all this under control. I understand that only God can ultimately secure the success of anything. I get it. And I want you to understand that. But it also takes God using his people to be faithful to him and to what he's called us to do to accomplish it. That's how God has chosen to work in history. Through the people that he calls his own who love him and serve him. So this morning, the way we're going to talk about securing success for growing grace is by maintaining the vision. How do we maintain it? It's one thing to come up with a vision, with a dream. It's one thing to put it out there, to get excited, hoorah, everything's great. But to maintain it over the course of time, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. How do we do that and not get off track to what God has called us to do? We're going to look at a story this morning that's going to have great application for us along the lines of what we're talking about. It comes from Luke chapter 18, verses 35 through 43. Let me give you the background to this story real quickly. The story is about a blind man whose name is Bartimaeus. He and Jesus met near Jerusalem during the last week of Jesus' ministry before he was crucified. And Jesus came up to the Jerusalem city gates where blind beggars were begging for food. And there was a man named Bartimaeus begging at the gate, blind, couldn't see. Let's read through the verses. Look at what the Bible says here. The story. Luke 18, verses 35 through 43. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man who was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd was going by, he asked, "Hey, what's happening?" And they told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked the blind man, and they told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stopped, and he ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near Jesus, asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," Bartimaeus replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." And immediately he received his vision and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. From this story of Jesus, we get the process by which God gives you vision and how he maintains it. And he does the same thing for our church as well. So I'm going to make the application to you as an individual and to our church. So number one, you or we as a church need to believe Jesus can change your situation or can change my situation. We need to believe Jesus can make the change he wants to do. In Luke 18, look what it says. Jesus approached Jericho. A blind man was sitting there by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he, the blind man, asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, I'm sure the crowds looked around at this guy and they thought, "Who is this guy making this scene? What a cry of desperation." But it wasn't a cry of desperation. It was a cry of hope. Because if he didn't believe Jesus could heal him, he wouldn't have embarrassed himself in front of the crowd. I think today a lot of people have lost their hope. I know churches that have lost their hope. Why? Sometimes it's because they've put their hope in the wrong source. Sometimes churches do that. They had their hope in a certain staff member or certain finances that they had. They had their hope in the wrong things. And that's what happened here in this scene. Folks, there's only one source that will never disappoint you, and that is God and God alone. If you're going to have a source of hope, you don't put it in anything that can be taken away from you. You don't put it in anyone who could disappoint you. You put your hope in God. You put it in Jesus alone. He can meet your needs. And that's what he does for us as a church. As a church, I'm not putting my hope in you. I love you. I do have some hope for you. No. You shouldn't put your hope in the folks who stand here on the stage and lead this church. You put your hope in God. Look what it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 and 21. God paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Christ. Because of this, your trust can be in God, who raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. Now your faith and hope can rest in him alone. In Christ alone, my hope is found. You need to believe Jesus can change your situation. We need to believe that Jesus can change our situation as Grace Point Church. That's how God created this church in the first place. This church has a long, great, wonderful history. Crossroads Church had a not as long, but a long enough history. And God just said, you know what? I'm going to have some fun with these churches. I'm going to let circumstances affect this church in this way and affect that church that way. And I'm just going to get their attention for a little while. Did he get your attention? Yeah, he had mine a long time ago. And God said, you know what? Now's the time. We're just going to bring those churches together, let them feel each other out, do all this, and then I'm going to call them to let go of those churches and become the new church I want them to be. Anybody have that on their wish list? It was a vision I could never even come to begin to imagine. But look what God has done. You want to secure success for growing grace? The first thing we need to do is make sure our faith is in and remains in God alone. We believe that Jesus can change us. He can change the color of the carpet, put some new ceiling tiles in. I mean, he can do great stuff here. Change the entire backside of this church, exterior, landscape, building behind us, fellowship. He can do all of that. Matter of fact, he is. We're like this close. Number two, how do we secure success for our lives and for our church, for our Growing Grace program? Number two, you and I, we must ignore all the negative voices. We ignore the negative voices, the naysayers. Luke chapter 18, verse 39. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. I love this guy. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Anybody here an extrovert? Some of you? Oh, you're not an extrovert. You'd raise your hand. How many of us are introverts? I would never have done what that guy did. I could not have just yelled louder. I couldn't do it. But here he was. Have mercy on me. The crowd rebuked him. They told him to shut up. They told him to keep his mouth closed. Some people go through life without any vision. They don't want to have anything big that they think about in their life. And if they go through their life and they don't have vision, they don't want you to have vision either. There are always negative voices that are going to pull you back from the vision God has given you for your life, for your family, for your business, and it happens in church as well. And some naysayers can squelch a good work of God that he is doing. Charles Franklin Kettering was an American inventor and the holder of over 300 patents. He was head of research for General Motors for 27 years. Among his most widely used automotive inventions were the electrical starting motor and unleaded gasoline. I'm impressed. He was also responsible for the invention of Freon, the refrigerant used for the air conditioning system. And Kettering said this. He said, when I was research head of General Motors and wanted a problem to be solved, I'd place a table outside the meeting room and put a sign on there that said, leave slide rules here. In our day and time, it would be leave your mini computers, your calculators here. He said, if I didn't do that, I'd find some engineer reaching for a slide, then he'd be on his feet saying, boss, you can't do that. He'd become a naysayer who, if allowed to speak, might dampen the enthusiasm of the calling. There are always going to be naysayers in your life. There are always going to be naysayers in the crowd. There are always going to be naysayers in the church. I remember, churches and churches ago, decades ago, when I was pastoring a church in Tennessee, and we were doing a little building program, a small one, but significant one for that church. And everybody was excited, and we took the big vote, and all the votes came in, and all of them said, yes, except one. I said, seriously? Well, that person was smart enough or dumb enough to come to me and say, hey, I was the one that voted no. And I went, what? He was a big guy in the church. I said, why? Because I had to stand up before the church and said, we had 154 and one no. He said, why did you do that? He said, I just don't ever think anything should ever be unanimous. Idiot. That's not the word I used then. We were outside the church when I had a conversation with him. Listen, there are always going to be people who say, no, you can't. It won't work. We can't afford it. There's no way. There's no. And that's okay. As long as you don't buy into it. One of the greatest fears I think that people have is the fear of the disapproval of others. Look what Proverbs 29:25 says. The fear of human opinion disables you. Did you hear that? The fear of human opinion, caring too much about what other people say, the fear of human opinion disables you. But trusting in God protects you from that. If you fear the disapproval of others, you're never going to have God's vision for your life completed in your life, because you can't please God and everybody else at the same time. You've got to decide who you're going to live for. The audience of your peers, or an audience of one. What's the crowd doing in this story? The crowd's telling this guy, cool it, chill out. Jesus is too important for you. You're just a blind beggar. Who do you think you are? Shut up, be quiet, sit down. The crowd was saying to Bartimaeus, give me a break. Jesus isn't interested in you. If you're going to secure your vision that God's given you for your life, and if we're going to secure God's vision for growing grace, we need to ignore the negative voices around us. I'm not saying that everyone has to agree with everyone all the time about everything. I'm not saying that at all, but there's a difference between me saying, well, I don't really think it should be here. I think it should be there. I think it should go this way or that way. And we can have that kind of dialogue as Christians and pray about it and come to a conclusion. That's fine. But for people just to stand up and say, it ain't going to work. Just because we hear them doesn't mean we have to listen to them. Does that make sense? We're either going to fear other people or we're going to trust in God. We don't need to be bothered by what the crowd thinks. We need to continue to go after what God is showing us individually in our personal lives, in our family life, and in the life of our church for growing grace. That will help secure the success of it. If you're going to secure success for your life, if you're going to secure success for growing grace, then believe Jesus can change your situation, ignore the negative voices, and number three, we must listen for God's call. You've got to listen for God's call. As a church, we've got to listen for and hear God's call. You've got to pay attention to God. Which means you're going to have to settle down some, slow down some. You're going to have times where you stop being busy and you're just going to go before God and you're going to be quiet to hear God's call. Look at Mark chapter 10, verses 49 and 50. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Jesus called Bartimaeus. Jesus is calling us individually, in our families. Jesus is calling us as his church here. We must listen for the call that God is giving us. We know he's calling us to grow in grace. We've been through all of that. We've got everything squared away. He's calling us to that. Jesus called Bartimaeus. Here's the point. Bartimaeus could have missed God's call if he wasn't listening. He couldn't see him. And he might have missed the call if he wasn't listening. He could have been so busy shouting, "Hey, hey, I'm over here. Hear me, see me." He could have been so busy that he couldn't hear Jesus calling back to him. Sometimes, how many times have we said this? Sometimes we just get too busy. And it doesn't necessarily have to all do with work. Sometimes we get too busy doing work and then doing other things and other things we like. And before we know it, we have no time to be still for anybody. And if Bartimaeus hadn't been still, he wouldn't have heard Jesus calling him. Folks, you can't hear God's call. You can't get God's vision for your life or get into the vision he's giving our church if you are distracted and disconnected by less important things all the time. Look at chapter 30, verse 15. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. Underline that word, quietness. You want strength as a believer? You want strength in your family? Do we want strength in our church? Then sometimes we just need to be quiet. You get strength in quietness. Strength to overcome stress. You have to have periods of quietness when you can hear the call of God and enjoy the fellowship of God. That's why we need sometimes periodically just to sit alone and do nothing and hear nothing but be with God. It's interesting here that in listening to God's call, Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man in the crowd and they said, "Hey, cheer up. Get on your feet. He's calling you." Notice how the crowd's thoughts have changed. Did you notice that? It was shut up, sit down. No one wants to hear your stuff. Just be quiet. And now Jesus says, "Oh, I want to talk to him." Oh, yeah. Hey, come on, come on, come on. Jesus wants you. You know those kind of people? You know, and on any side they need to feel like they need to be on to have a little bit of ego, a little bit of power, a little bit of "I want to be in on it." That's what the crowd was doing to him. It's interesting we have people like that even today. How quickly public opinion can change. How fickle the crowd can become. Don't buy into that. Listen, if Jesus is calling you, if Jesus is calling our church, it doesn't matter what the crowd says. You understand? If God is calling you and he's calling our church, it doesn't matter what the crowd says. We need to do individually, we need to get with it collectively as a church about what God wants us to do, what he's calling us to do. So you believe Jesus can change your situation, can change our situation as a church. Ignore the negative voices. Listen for God's call. And then number four, tell God exactly what you want. Tell God what you want. In Luke 18, it says, when he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" I love Bartimaeus. He knew the answer. He had it. He didn't have to wait. He didn't have to hem all along. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see." That was it. He didn't have to sit back and say, "Well, let me think about this. What is it I want?" He knew what he wanted. Folks, it's not complicated to secure success for growing grace by maintaining our vision. It says here one way is we just need to tell God exactly what we want. Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you, Grace Point Church? What do you want me to do for you? Fill in your name or your family member's names or a good friend, somebody at work. What do you want me to do?" Bartimaeus didn't get into a long speech. He says, "I'd like to see." Jesus says, "Here's your sight. God bless you." It was pretty simple. Probably took 10 seconds. Bartimaeus didn't have to think about the question to answer it. He knew. I suggest we as a church continue to pray about, think about, talk about, share about what it is that God really wants to do for us here regarding growing grace, exactly what we're going to do. Understanding has little to do with, you know, paint and carpet and chair. That's a part of the process, but it has to do with winning people to Jesus. And for the very moment that it becomes about anything else, we're done. Does that make sense? If Jesus calls you, we listen. When he calls us, we tell him exactly what we want. I wrote down a couple things that I want regarding growing grace. I'd like everything to happen on time. Yeah, I knew you'd laugh. You're not listening to the message very well this morning, are you? I want everything. I must still want it. I want everything to happen on time. Now you got me messed up. Where was my fingers? You're the crowd. I'm not listening to you. I want the inconvenience that's going to happen to us draw us closer as a fellowship, not push us apart. I want the money, the funds, to come in such a way that we never have to borrow a dime from the bank. If you remember last week, we shared with you, I forget what our initial goal was, $400,000, and then the committee and the three pastors, we gave our commitments over 2 years, $151,100. And so the new goal is now $269,000 and some change. That's doable for a church our size. And I hope it's going to be doable as you pray about, "God, what do you want me to do with this? What kind of money do you want me to give to that over the two-year period of time?" Because I would love, if we have to borrow a bank because we don't get it all at once, understand it. We pay that off before we pay a dime in interest. That's what I want. That's just a couple things I want. There's more. I'll tell you later. Question is what do you want? What do you want in your life right now? What do you want in your family's life? What do you want in your business? What do you want in the work you do? What do you want? And does Jesus know that? I know he knows because he's God. But have you ever told him, "This is what I want"? I never didn't know what my baseball coach in high school wanted. He's a good coach. We did really well in baseball for years under his leadership, but he's a weirdo. He's strange. He never called any of his team members, us students, he never called us by our first name. I was never Kevin. It was Bennett. And since my brother was 2 years older than me, he was already a Bennett. A lot of times I was little Bennett. And he never would talk to you directly. I'd be out in center field with a couple other guys, we're shagging fly balls, and he'd see something that I did wrong, and he'd never say, "Hey, Kevin, can you come in here?" He'd never say, "Hey, Bennett, get in here." He'd say, "Hey, Stanley, tell Bennett I want him to come in here. And me and Stanley were this far, I mean, just this close. He's saying, Stan, tell Bennett to come in here. He, our coach, made it very clear what he wanted. He just did it in a strange way. Let God know what you want. And our church will be letting God know what we want. And God will work it out. I trust him to get all those details in line. Look how good God has been to us. Romans 8, verse 32. Since God did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for all of us, won't God, who gave us Christ, also give us everything else? Folks, if God solved our biggest problem, which was getting us out of hell into heaven, then everything else to God is small potatoes. He's going to take care of us. He's going to meet our needs spiritually, emotionally, physically. He's going to take care of us. Doesn't mean it's always an easy life. Not down here on earth. This is not heaven. But he'll get us through. Believe Jesus can change your situation, our situation. Ignore the negative voices. Let's take time and learn to listen to God and then tell God exactly what we want. Number five, we will receive our vision in faith. We will receive it in faith. That's what Bartimaeus did. He received it in faith. In Luke 18, 42 and 43, it says, Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. And immediately he received his sight. Receiving and faith go together, folks. That's how you receive the vision. You receive it by faith. Faith is placed in a person. Bartimaeus didn't have faith in an outcome. He had faith in the person of Jesus Christ. He knew that Jesus was his only answer, and he placed his faith in him. Faith is believing that something is true because you... Faith isn't believing that something is true because you know it. It's believing something is true because Jesus is true. He is truthful. Bartimaeus placed his faith in Jesus, and that's the exact same thing that we need to do as well. Bartimaeus may have been physically blind, but he actually could see something. He could see who Jesus was and that Jesus was his answer. Look at John 1:16. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. That should get an amen right there. And Romans 4:16. That's why faith is the key. God's promise is given to us as a what? Free gift. And then number six. You want to secure what God's doing in your life? We secure what God's wanting to do in our growing grace? Then we need to stick with Jesus on the road that he travels. We need to stick with him on the road he's traveling. That's what happened to Bartimaeus. Look what it says in Luke 18, 43. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. He received his sight. Now he's following Jesus. Remember, the first part of the story is Jesus approached Jericho. A blind man was sitting in the roadside. Then he gets his vision. It's restored. Now he's following Jesus on the road. So a good question for us is this, as an individual and as a church. Are we going to be sitting on the side of the road watching life pass us by, or are we going to be following Jesus on the road, being proactive about what he's calling us to do? I want to go back to the verses I read earlier. In Ephesians 3, 20 through 21, look at what can happen if we do this. Now, glory to God, who by whose power? His. What kind of power? Mighty power. Can you believe? I can't even get a concept of what God really is, who he's really like. I can't. But he's going to be doing something through us in your life, in the life of our church, by his mighty power. Is there any other kind of power besides mighty power? Maybe it's faulting power. Well, God doesn't fault. It's mighty power at work within us. He's able to do how much? Far more than we could ever. He can do more than we could ever ask for. Are you serious? I'm going to do some asking this afternoon. He can do far more. Not just that we could ask, than we could ever dare to ask or even dream of. Look, he does with his mighty power far more than infinitely beyond. I don't get this. This is way above my ability to understand in my head and in my heart. I wish I could climb on this verse. I wish Paul were here and I could say, what in the world were you talking about? Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. May he be given glory forever and ever through endless ages because of his master plan of salvation for the church through Jesus Christ. Did we ever come up with some verses when we were going through Growing Grace? We didn't, did we? I think these need to be our verses right here. Can you imagine if God did this through our Growing Grace campaign? Oh my gosh. We'd have to do baptism at the beach every weekend. We can fill it up here too. We're not just thrown to the beach. We'll bring ocean water and fill this thing up. Throw a little sand in there. These are incredible verses that God can do in us and through us, not just to bless us, but to use us to bless others. Lost people get saved. Christians who are out of church where they need to be get to get back in church and get active. We are meeting the needs of people around us. We are sending, in this case, OCC boxes literally around the world. You want to be a part of that? You want to secure success for Growing Grace and not just do it, but to make sure it comes out the way God wants it to? Then these are things that we need to maintain individually and collectively as a church. Fair enough? All right. Somebody on the committee, don't let me forget these verses. We need to get these verses. We need to attach them to everything we're doing with Growing Grace. I think they're really cool. Isn't that nice? The pastor thinks some Bible verses are cool. I'm sure God's real happy with that right now. All right, let's pray together. Father, we're so grateful. You're good. And we're so grateful that your goodness comes not because of us, but because of you. We're just, in our hearts, our minds, so thankful that we can be recipients of your goodness, of your forgiveness, of your grace, of being involved in the work that you're doing literally around the world, and that part of around the world includes us here on James Island. We've seen you work, God, and it's been good, but according to these verses, you can do even bigger work, and we just want to be a part of that as well. May you keep us mindful that all of this is about winning lost people to Jesus and helping people who are Christians to grow and to serve so other people can be one to you as well. Keep that at the forefront of our minds. With what ability we have to secure promises that you've given us, to believe them and to call on them. Secure success, Father, for Growing Grace, for our church, for your kingdom, and for us individually. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, it's okay to clap. Hey. Jason, thank you for what you do, man. And as we heard the message today, the challenge of vision, what's God doing? A couple announcements. Speaking of what God's doing, there's a lot happening right now. I hope you have a bulletin and you can look in there and see that. Next week, I know everybody's upset about this. You get an extra hour of sleep on Sunday. Believe it or not, there will be people show up an hour early, right? So you come on out, hear the band. Then OCC is going to be due on November 9th. Kevin mentioned that. James Island Outreach coming up this Thursday. If you'd like to help with the food distribution in our area, Fish Fry on November the 8th as well. Last year, we took the youth to the fair. We had a great time. School is out for a couple days during the fair. So if you'd like, if you're interested in finding out more, I'm going to be right down here in the front afterwards. Come by and say hi to me, and we'll talk a little bit about that, see if that's a possibility as well. If you're a guest today, don't forget to put your card in the box. Say hi to one of the pastors before you go. Oh, let's say a prayer and take that excitement with you as you go. Again, if you're a guest today, come by and say hi to us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the challenges that you give us, not just today, but every day of our life, to live more faithfully. We are made to worship you. Help us to do that. Lord, we love you. We thank you for each one who's here today. Help us to reach out wherever we go. We love you. We thank you. Now we pray it in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.